Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, The Game, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, and the Tennessee Titans are playing for the stinking Super Bowl on Sunday against Kansas City, a sentence I still cannot believe is coming out of my mouth. Enjoy the ride. What a couple of weeks it has been for the Tennessee Titans. Corey Curtis joining us here as the Ravens fall 28-12 at the hands of the Titans and Dean Pease and Derrick Henry on Saturday evening. Corey, just explain what's going through your head as you watch the third and fourth quarter unfold.
Well, I think I've said this a few times. You know, you set up the keys to victory for every game. I always give three. You know, there's probably five, six, seven, eight of them for this football game that you could have mapped out. And they checked every single box for this game. It was really a masterful performance by the coaching staff and by the players. I mean, they came out ready and they did everything that they absolutely needed to do. And, you know, you look at some of the statistic anomalies that are just crazy. You know, I think I tweeted out early in the fourth quarter, I said there's a real possibility that Ryan Tannehill is going to throw for less than 100 yards in both games and be 2-0 in the playoffs. And it's not really on Ryan Tannehill so much, just kind of for whatever reason, how these games are playing out. And, you know, you think about just how far Derrick Henry has come from the player he was his first 2.5 seasons. It's staggering. And, you know, how far this team comes. You know, I'm. You know, we do this every Monday, and at 2-4, I had no hope for this team because, you know, this game is won in the trenches, and their offensive line was so bad that I didn't have any hopes of them getting it turned around. And now they've got the NFL rushing champion. I think they've given up maybe nine sacks in the last six games. Maybe 10 sacks in the last six games. I mean, just so many things have gone right, and so many things went right. It was just, it was unrecognizable.
Talk a little bit, Dean Pease and this defense. They've been able to, the last two games, they've been able to take away the strengths of both teams, whether it be New England in a passing game or their screen game or Baltimore. And this run game, they forced Baltimore to get away from their run game, which was surprising. But you got to credit a lot of that to what the defense was able to do in Dean Pease.
Yeah, well, look, going into this game, there were a few hopes, and one of which was that Baltimore would come out a little bit rusty, which I think they did. I think 3 weeks of no real competitive football for them made a difference. But, you know, one of the other things I kept pointing to and others pointed to was this Dean Pease, Greg Roman scenario. You know, they faced each other in the Super Bowl when Pease was the Baltimore defensive coordinator and Roman was in San Francisco, and Pease won. They played each other the next season and Pease won. And you thought, you know, maybe Pease has some of the secret sauce to beat this football team. And I mean, you know, getting up 14-0 had a lot to do with it, because when Lamar Jackson has to throw it, and when you can play pass first against Lamar Jackson, it's a completely different scenario. So a lot of things went right in that regard, but they had a plan, and they made that plan work. I mean, it was incredible.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. Is there anything you can point to? I mean, listen, we've talked, we're going to talk about Arthur Smith and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and the defensive line and Dean Pease and Mike Vrabel. Is there anything you can point to that is an intangible, a culture thing that starts with John Robinson 4 years ago, culminates with a switch of coaching staffs after a playoff win and a trip to the divisional round? Is there anything about the makeup of this locker room that you can put into words that describes why this is happening right now?
I think toughness, you know, resiliency is a word, because, you know, this team can take a punch and keep moving forward. You know, they didn't really take that punch this last week, but when things get hard, it's okay for this team, you know, because just look at the short yardage scenarios. Baltimore comes into the game 8-for-8 on 4th-and-1. They went 0-for-2 in this game. When there's a yard to fight over, this team's really good. I mean, go back to the Charger game. Go back to New England. And I think that toughness is now showing up in the red zone, because in the red zone, defensively, this team wasn't very good all season long. And in the postseason, they've been absolutely fantastic defensively. They're 2-for-7 in the red zone on defense this year. I mean, in the postseason. I mean, they've only given up 2 touchdowns and 7 red zone trips. So their toughness when things get hard has been really good.
Yeah, it has been. You know, 2 fourth down stops in this game in particular. And I think,
four stops.
But the one that was, I thought that was a game changer, and you can tell me if you have the same sentiment, when Baltimore was down 14-6, if they kicked the field goal on Tennessee's 18, I think it's 14-9, and it's a different ball game. But Tennessee stops them, they change field position, and then 2 drives later they get the sack fumble. And that really kind of opened up the game for them. It was 21-6 at that point. And they don't allow Baltimore to do what they want to do, and that's run the football.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to when it's 7-0, and you get the stop on 4th-and-1, and bam, you hit him with Khalif Raymond on the next play. I mean, I thought that was the one. That once you put him down 14-0, you really put them on their heels. And how about another one? You give up the big strike to Marquise Brown right before the half. They got one more shot to score a touchdown there.
Yep.
If it's, and you don't give it up. You don't give it up. It could have been 14-10, Baltimore getting the ball to start the second half. Instead, it's 14-6. Instead, you've still got that 8-point lead. So when you had all those critical scenarios, like the one you're talking about, Mace, they came up with the answers defensively that didn't allow Baltimore to creep back in, didn't allow Baltimore to apply any kind of pressure. When Baltimore pushed, they pushed back harder.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And yeah, I think there's probably, you know, who knows, 24 plays you could point to as the play of the game. I you know, the one I look at personally is you go up 21-6, and then Jarrell Casey on the very first play of the game in Baltimore, or of the drive in Baltimore territory, gets the strip sack. And then, of course, that leads to the 28-6 lead. And I think it was it was fitting that Jarrell Casey had one of the biggest games of his career in one of the most critical spots of his career. A guy who's been here through a lot of losing. I just think it was really appropriate and fun to see, frankly, that Jarrell Casey got to sort of shine on a national stage the way he did and play such a huge role.
I agree with you completely, Braden. It's a point that I've brought up since Sunday night. That, you know, people always ask me, do you root for the Titans? And I say, you root for the guys. You get to know the guys. And look, Jarrell Casey's a fantastic player who could have left this organization. He could have said, forget this nonsense. I'm going somewhere else. But he didn't. He stayed here. I did an interview with him about this 1 year before the preseason, where we talked about this in depth, staying here to build something. He wasn't a quitter. He wasn't going to turn his back on this team. He was going to lead it out of the abyss that it was in. And to see him rewarded now with 5 playoff games in 3 years, an AFC championship, and you're absolutely right, in the biggest game of his professional life, he comes out with 2 sacks, a strip sack, one that ends the game. You know, this is stuff he'll remember his entire life. You know, it's not the birth of his child. It's not his wedding day. But professionally, this is big, and you like to see great players rewarded with great moments and great opportunities, and he's getting his now, and he was great in this football game. I mean, he was really, really good. To get Lamar Jackson on the ground twice is something. To get the ball away from him is even more incredible. He was great. It was a great night for him. I remember seeing his wife and Wesley Woodyard's wife on the field before the game. They were getting hyped up with fans. I mean, you know, this game means a lot to a lot of people, and I know Mace can tell you, when you're young, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, Corey Davis, you know, these guys, you know, all they know is this team goes to the playoffs, right? Yeah. I mean, Corey Davis is in for the second time in 3 years, and he's playing his fifth playoff game already. Well, Jarrell Casey, you know, Brett Kern, they know it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're happy for those guys. And the guy's been a great player for this team, so it's good to see.
I guess I have to ask you about Derrick Henry, Corey, and that just is – and I mean, listen, he's 32 carries, 34 carries, 30 carries, almost 600 yards in three elimination games. I mean, outside of McNair and Eddie George and, of course, my co-host here, I don't – you know, from a popularity standpoint, again, you mentioned the first 2.5 years of his career has been very different than it has been the last year and a half. But from a popularity standpoint, I'm not sure – and it's fun to see him come out of his shell a little bit too. From, you know, he's dressed in more flashy. He's got more things to say in the press conference. He's gaining sort of a persona as well in this process. I think it's fun to see his development from a popularity standpoint. Is he not already, you know, a top five, top eight Titan of all time?
Well, it's incredible because he was extremely popular when he was terrible. but look, what he's doing now is incredible. I mean, he flipped a switch at the end of last season, and we all asked all offseason long, which Derrick Henry are we going to see? Is he going to be the one that finished the year, or is it going to be the guy that he was the first 2.5 years? And it was neither, because it's a guy who's even better. I mean, he is so much better than he was to even finish last year. He has been, you know, this battering ram that and the speed, you know, is unbelievable. But just to watch him hit the line and to watch him own defenses. I mean, this is Baltimore. It's freaking Baltimore. You're in Baltimore. They play defense, and they know he's coming, and they can't do anything about it. And you're right, Titan fans absolutely love him, and they may have loved Chris Johnson, you know, for those few seasons, but this is different. And I think I said after last week, you know, this is his team. By that I mean, when you think of this team now, he's the identity of this team. He is what you think of with this football team. He's that Reggie Jackson straw that stirs the drink. I mean, he's it. And, you know, you got to do it for more than 1.25 seasons. But I think it's going to be fun to watch what happens in the next few years because, you know, we started the year, you know, with him playing well, and we're thinking, how much is it going to cost to bring him back next year? And we're like, okay, probably like $6 to $8 million. And then the year kind of goes on, and that number keeps going up. And now you're wondering, is he going to have to be the highest paid running back in football? Because that's a real possibility.
Well, it's been absolutely remarkable. Corey, thank you so much, man, and enjoy another week of this nonsense.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's what makes sports great. I always say it's the ultimate reality show, and it's incredible.
Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
All right.
Corey Curtis, News 2. Derrick Henry, listen, Dean Pease, star of the show. Arthur Smith needs some credit. Ryan Tannehill's been great. But Derrick Henry is the man. How spectacular has he been? His numbers, his performance, can he keep it up, and can they do it again? We'll continue to discuss Derrick Henry's ride in the postseason when we come back right here on Morning Drive.
To the men listeners out there, I've been telling you this for several years now about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men in the Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And there's no better time now to achieve a healthy lifestyle. What are you waiting on, man? Give Cool Springs MD a call to make an appointment. Here's the number, 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.